What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boombox Guru, music commentary and music discussion for music lovers. I'm your host, LB, and we got a very good episode for you guys today. So if you don't want to miss out, tune in and keep it locked in. Hey, what's good, everybody? This your boy, LB. I want to thank you guys for tuning into this impromptu episode of the Boombox Guru. Yeah, I just wanted to do this, I guess you could say, sort of quick episode, because there's just something that's been kind of weighing on my mind here lately, and I'm trying to decide whether has hip-hop become too dangerous, or has it always been that dangerous, and because of where social media is these days, we're just seeing so much more of it. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because, you know, if you guys remember, maybe almost a month ago now, back in November, you know, we had that week where there was several rappers who were killed and who were shot. You know, you had King Von, a Chicago rap artist. He was shot and killed in Atlanta. Then you had Mo 3, artist from Dallas, Texas. He was actually shot and killed on the interstate in Dallas, Texas, by what looks to be a hitman. And then after that, you had Boosie, who was in Dallas, Texas for a memorial for Mo 3. He actually got shot at the memorial, got shot in the leg. And, you know, at first people thought that he was going to get his leg amputated and whatnot, but it looks like he's pulling through. And then a couple of days after that, you had Benny the Butcher, you know, a rap artist from Buffalo, New York, who's a part of that whole Griselda family with West Side Gunn and Conway the Machine. He was shot after somebody attempted to rob him at a Walmart in Houston, Texas. And then I heard about another rap artist, an upcoming rapper from New Jersey. I can't quite recall his name right now, but he was killed recently. And then before that, you know, we had a FBG Duck from Chicago. He was shot and killed in his hometown of Chicago, in what is described as a prestigious part of Chicago known as the Gold Coast. You know, the way he got taken out was pretty rough. I mean, it looked like the guys had been wanting him for a while. You know, they shot his car up, man. You can see video footage of him after he was shot, man. He's on the ground, like, you know, trying to struggle for life, you know. But it seems that in this day and time, man, it seems like almost every other month you're hearing about another rapper being murdered. It seems like every month you're hearing about a rapper being murdered. And it's got me wondering, like, what is going on? Because, you know, when I was growing up, man, like around the late 90s, 2000s, you know, that was more when I came of the age to really kind of start to understand things going on around me. When I was growing up, man, I didn't really hear about a lot of rappers getting murdered. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that there wasn't violence happening in hip hop. Violence has always been within the hip hop game. You know, the first known murder to take place in hip hop was when Scott LaRock from Boogie Down Productions was killed back in 1987. And then, of course, we all know about Tupac and Biggie. That's probably the biggest, still the biggest to this day. You know, two great rappers who were both murdered in their prime. And, you know, their murders officially remain unsolved. And then, of course, you had Big L, who was part of DITC. You know, rapper from Harlem, remarkable MC from Harlem. He got gunned down, got shot 9 times in his hometown of Harlem. You know, there's just countless artists that I hadn't even mentioned, man. It's always been there. It's always happening. But compared to what's happened recently, to what I just talked about that happened in the past, you didn't really hear about rappers getting killed like that. You know, these were things that I feel back in the day when you heard about a rapper being murdered, it was a shock because it's not something you was hearing on a regular basis. But nowadays, it's happening so much where it's almost as if you're being desensitized to it. You know, it's like another month, another rapper gone. And you're sitting there thinking like, okay, well, who's next? And it's got me wondering, man, like, what's going on? Has that violence always been there? And because 20 years ago or more, we didn't have social media. The internet wasn't what it is now. We wasn't just hearing about it like that. Because now, you know, we have social media, man. You can't really hide nothing, man. You hear about things like the moment that they happen. You know, you back in the days, man, when stuff like this happened in hip hop music, you know, you had to wait until it was on the news or if the hip hop magazines were going to write about it. You don't have to wait no more. You know, as soon as it happens, it's on the internet. You're going to hear a story about it. It's going to pop up on Instagram or whatever social media you frequent. You're going to hear about it at that moment. But it just seems like we've lost more rappers in recent years than we have in the past. And, you know, people always talk about the grimy 90s, man, where it was a lot more dangerous because rap artists were a lot more real. And, you know, it was just a way more gangster at that point. But I don't know. I think we've lost more rappers this year or in the last 3 or 4 years than we have in the 20 plus years that I was talking about in the past, man. And, you know, I want to talk about Mo3's situation, man. Mo3, his situation was very disturbing to me, man, when it came out that apparently he was being hunted, that he was being followed. You know, I think they said the night before he got killed, he was at some chick's house. And apparently he thought then that somebody was following him, that somebody was after him then. And just to see how he went out, man, on the interstate, man, where somebody like just shot up his car. And, you know, you see the footage of the hitter getting out of the car and finishing the job, you know, execution style, man. The way he was taken out, man, it's really disturbing, man. It's, you know, I used to have aspirations to be a rapper, man, but, you know, I'm glad I got over that, man, especially now, these days, man, because, man, being a rapper is really dangerous, dude. It's almost like you a walking target. But at the same time, I think a lot of it has to do with where a lot of these cats come from and the stuff that they convey in their music, man, because, you know, most of these cats I just named, you know, they come from the streets, and that's a part of their music. That street life is something that they convey in their music. You know, everybody talks about, you know, the type of energy you put out there. You know, you can get that back. And you know, back in the 90s, man, you know, when gangsta rap was really popular, you know, I was watching an interview the MC8 from Compton's Most Wanted did. And he was talking about how, you know, when they would go on tour, how in certain cities, you know, they had to kind of watch their back, man, because, you know, there were people in the audience. You know, these guys are Crips from Compton. And, you know, they're going to other cities. And I think he talked about going to Phoenix, Arizona or something. They did a show in Phoenix, Arizona. And it was mainly Bloods. It was, like, mainly Bloods at the show. Like, he looked out in the audience and it was all flamed up. I don't think he said anything about they having problems, but, you know, these are rappers who are conveying that street life in their music. And, you know, you got people out here that's in the streets that's more than likely never going to get out of that life. And they looking at you like, well, man, you just a rapper rapping about that life now, man. I'm still in this and I ain't never going to get out. You know, sometimes jealousy comes into play, especially when you get out of the hood and you become successful, you start making money, you start getting fame, you know, a lot of women might, you know, women are more likely wanting to be around you more. You know, there's people in the hood that ain't going to like that. I know Tupac said something in one of his songs about shining or flossing on a broken man's dream. Something to that nature. It's one of those words, but I think one of the biggest problems is that a lot of these rappers, man, once they step foot in the rap game, man, they still want to keep one foot in the streets, man. And, you know, you can't really do that. when you start seeing success from your rap career, you need to make a decision then whether you're going to pursue the rapping full time or you're going to stay in the streets. I don't think you can't. I don't know if you can really have it both ways. I mean, you can, but there's going to be some consequences. You know, you may end up dead and you may end up in prison. But I don't think a lot of these rappers understand that, because I've heard rumors that the whole King Von and Quando Rondo situation had something to do with a drug deal. And I mean, I wasn't all that familiar with King Von. I heard his name here and there, but I heard some songs here and there too. But he was on his way to being a really successful rap artist, man. Evidently, he was making some money. So why was he fighting over a drug deal? You know, but Mo 3 situation, and I want to focus on him and King Von mainly because, you know, I think what happened with Boosie and Benny the Butcher was just, I don't know, I think they were just ignorant people. That was just people being ignorant, man. That was just people being ignorant. I mean, but it's unfortunate that it happened to them, but I don't know, man. You know, Mo 3 was still in the hood. He's still hanging around in the hood and stuff like that. And you can see that this dude is, he's become a successful artist. He's making money. He's doing his thing, man. And I just don't think a lot of these rappers are understanding that, yo, you gotta get out of the hood, man. I mean, look at Nipsey Hussle, man. Nipsey Hussle is a really great example. What happened to him? Well, it's not a great example. It's an unfortunate example. Excuse me. Look what happened with Nipsey Hussle, man. I understand that Nipsey was trying to do something positive for his community, you know, by opening up that store and everything. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done that. I think that was a great idea. But I don't feel like that Nipsey should have been hanging out at that store like he was, man. I don't think he should have been at that store like he was. You know, there should have been somebody on his team that was like, yo, Nip, you don't need to be here like this, man. Let us handle the day-to-day here. You know, if you want to come through every once in the blue moon and see how things are running, man, that's cool. But from what I know, from what people were saying in interviews, you know, Nip would be out there all the time hanging out front the store, man. Which, I mean, I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, Nip was the gold mine. He should have been protected better, or he should have been moving better. But who knows? Maybe people were telling him this and he just didn't listen. But I think what happened to Nipsey Hussle really should be an example that, you know, when you start becoming a successful rap artist, man, you're gonna have to move different. You can't keep doing the same hood stuff, man. You gotta level up your game or something, man. You gotta just move differently. You can't be doing the same things you were doing when you were broke and you was in the hood trapping and doing everything. You can't do that, man. The whole point of you getting in the rap game is so you can get out of the hood, not so you can keep going back. I mean, I know people want to stay true to the hood. They want to show everybody that they still real. But here's the thing, man. As much as you want to stay true to the hood, you got to ask yourself, is the hood going to stay true to you? That's one thing you got to ask yourself. Because from the way things are looking, man, especially in Mo 3's case, it looked like the hood ain't going to stay true to you. I mean, everything's fine when everybody's on the same level. But as soon as someone starts to elevate and get out, there's going to be somebody there that's going to get jealous. Instead of taking what you're doing as inspiration to maybe they can channel that to where they can better themselves, they'd rather just sit there and just hate. And then that hatred just becomes, it just becomes something evil, man. It's like Boosie said in that Vlad interview, hypnotized by hatred. And he also said that it's a fact that most rappers get killed in their own city, which is true. I mean, look at Mo 3 got killed in Dallas, Texas. That was his hometown, on the interstate, man. On the interstate, somebody sprayed up his car, and then they ran him down and gunned him down, execution style, bro. But, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, to go back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, back in the day, you know, I've heard stories of where Tupac, man, when he would be on tour and stuff, he would be trying to fight people in the cities he was in. If he had issues, he'd be trying to fight people and stuff like that. I know Too Short, he did an interview. He talked about DJ Quick when he went on tour, how he had to fight the whole time he was on tour. You know, because DJ Quick was really the first rapper from L.A. that claimed a set. You know, DJ Quick's a blood, and he was the first, I think he was the first rapper from Los Angeles that claimed his set, which was, I believe, Treetop Pyru. Yeah, he claimed that set. He was the first rapper to really do that when other rappers weren't doing that, because apparently there was this rule back in the early 90s with record labels where if rappers had gang affiliations, they couldn't, like, represent them on their records, especially if... I think that was mainly a rule applied to West Coast hip-hop artists, because back then, you know, it was real. You didn't have Bloods and Crips collaborating with each other like you do now. You know, how the Game's a Blood and Snoop's a Crip. This was back in the 90s. They wouldn't have really been collaborating like that. Of course, it took them to break that mold, to break that barrier. But, you know, anyway, DJ Quick was the first one to really do that. And, you know, he would go to cities on tour and he would have to fight other gang members and stuff. People, because, you know, they listening to this stuff that he's saying on his records. You know, yeah, it's cool, it's entertaining, but, you know, these cats are still living that life. To him, he's just a rapper now. So he had to fight the whole time he was out there. He actually tells stories about that in a song he did called Just Like Compton, one of his biggest hits. But, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the vibe that you put out, man. Because if you out here putting out this street vibe, you know, there's going to be cats out here that's going to try to test your gangster and see where you is, if you really with it. So I think, and I'm not saying rappers shouldn't rap about the street life. Hey, if that's all you know and that's what you want to represent, go ahead. But just move accordingly and be prepared for the consequences or the situations that will arise. That's all I'm saying. And then, like I said, man, a lot of these rappers, man, they start seeing levels of success, man, but they still want to keep going back to the hood. And to some degree, I understand, because, you know, the hood is where they from. That's where they grew up. That's all they, to some extent, that's all that they really know, man. They, you know, that's where they roots are at, man. That's how they earn their stripes and whatever, man. But like I said, man, you getting in the rap game so you can get out of the street game. So you getting in the rap game so you can get out of the dope game or whatever, man. That's what you're trying to do. So you just got to decide whether do you still want to be in the hood or do you want to have success, man. You got to – I just don't see where you can just have one foot in and one foot out. You know, you got to be all the way in either one, man. In either one, you know, because it don't seem to be working, man. It don't seem to be working, because a lot of rappers that's doing that, they either ended up dead or they ended up in prison. You know, a lot of people give Vlad TV a lot of flack because they're saying that his interviews have gotten rappers indicted, which I do agree with to some degree, because, you know, Vlad TV, he knows the type of questions he's asking. But at the same time, I still think that the artists need to be more smarter. And if you're a rap artist, you still dealing in illegal street stuff, you probably don't need to be giving interviews. But I just think you also need to decide, are you going to go forth with this rap game or are you just going to stay in the hood, man? You got to be careful, man. And here's some game right here. Here's some game. If you do go back to the hood, don't go back flossing, man. Don't go back flossing. Don't be going back to the hood in your Mercedes Benz, man. Don't be going back to the hood in your freaking Rolls Royce or Maybach, excuse me, as it's pronounced. You know, don't be, yeah, man, don't be rolling back to the hood in your luxury. I know some rappers say that they do that because they want to inspire the youth and whatnot. I've heard artists say that. I've heard a lot of them say that they do that because they want to inspire the youth to like to step it up, to step up their game and whatnot. But I mean, that's all well and good, but at the same time, you got people out there that's seeing that, that's not in that position, and they hungry, they starving, and they seeing you do that. That's making them plot, like, hey, I want what this guy got. I'm going to take what this person's got. Or it's making them jealous. It's making them envious. Like, man, look at this dude, man. He think he a god or something in the hood now, because he got all this money and stuff. He want to come back and try to floss on us, man. And you got people that think like that, bro. So you got to, you got to move accordingly, man. Like, don't be rolling back into, you ain't got to roll back into your hood in the Benzy, man. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy the luxurious things in life if you can afford it. I'm not saying that. If you making rap money and it's affording you to buy these luxuries, man, go ahead and go for it, man. But you gotta be careful at the same time, bro. It's not wrong with you having a Benzy or getting you that Range Rover or whatever, man, or that G-Wagon. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But why not get you like a Toyota Camry or, I don't know, a Kia, something. Get you a regular car too that you can maneuver around in, man. Like, let me tell you something. You know, Denzel Washington does this. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think his wife is actually from North Carolina originally, if I'm not mistaken. I think his wife has family that's from North Carolina or somewhere. So he actually comes back to North Carolina, I think, and visits. But you know what he does? He doesn't come back flossing. I think he rents him like a regular car that you wouldn't even think somebody of his stature would be in. And I think he kind of disguises himself a little bit. And that's what he does. He comes back with her and visits her family and things of that nature. Do something like that, man. Don't be rolling back in the hood in your Benzy, man. And don't be rolling back in the hood wearing a bunch of chains and all that stuff, man. I know you want to inspire the youth and others, man. But at the same time, while you may be inspiring and sparking that ambition in the youth, there's somebody else that's plotting on you because they're jealous and they don't like that you made it out and they didn't. Because they're not seeing what you're doing and turning that into like ambition. They're turning that into hate. Because they don't want to. They don't have that drive. They don't want to progress. They don't want to do it. And then maybe they don't have the means to do it. I don't know. But just understand that while you trying to maybe inspire somebody in the hood, there's somebody else that's plotting to get you because they don't like that. But that's the thing I'm saying, man. Is, you know, being a rapper, man, is just scary, bro. It's more scarier these days, man, because you don't know who's like waiting to like pop you, man. You know, all these rap, and then again, you know, there's some artists that are making choices that are contributing to their early demise, man. You know, that whole King Von and Quando Rondo fight, man. I mean, I'm not gonna put all the blame on that, but because I think it was an associate of Quando Rondo that actually pulled out the gun and killed King Von. But you know, even what a couple of years ago with XXXTentacion. Look what happened to him, man. He got robbed and killed, man. He posted his location on, I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, something. But he was rolling around with a bunch of money. Went to this motorsports place to inquire about a motorcycle, and some guys had been following him around town after he posted his location. And then they took him out. They said as soon as him and his uncle was about to pull out, man, they pulled up on him, man, and took him out. Took his money and everything, bro. But you just gotta, I don't know, man. You just gotta be careful, man. You just gotta be careful, man. Being a rapper these days is dangerous, man. But I think it's all about how you move And I think it's all about the image that you're portraying, man. I think if you one of these rappers that's portraying that street image, that thug image or whatever, you know, you're gonna have it a lot harder. And I'm not saying it's an image necessarily, like you fake or something. I'm just saying if that's the brand that you're trying to put out there, if that's the image you're trying to put out there, man, then you know, you need to understand that there's gonna be some obstacles that come with that. There's gonna be some people out there that's gonna look at you and think that you a clown because you rapping and they still in that life. So you just gotta be careful, man. You just gotta move accordingly, man. If you're gonna go back to the hood, man, don't go back to the hood trying to floss on everybody. You know, there's a book called The Millionaire Next Door, man. You know, The Millionaire Next Door, because don't nobody know that guy's a millionaire because he ain't trying to show everybody he got money and whatnot. And then, you know, you gotta make better choices, man. If you're gonna be successful in this rap game, then focus on that, man, and try to leave that street stuff alone. And of course it could be hard. You know, I can understand you gotta do what you gotta do in the beginning stages, but once you start making money and seeing some success, man, you know, I think right then and there you should be like, you know what, I'm just gonna leave this street stuff where it's at. And I'm gonna focus on this rap thing because I'm seeing a lot more success with this, man. But you know, I just don't really know, man. It just feels like being a rap artist is just so much more dangerous than what I remember it being. You know, almost every month you're hearing about another rap artist dying. And you know, I'm talking about like going back to the hood and everything like that. You know, FBG Duck, man, people were trying to tell him to leave Chicago. And I remember when he did that interview with Vlad, he pretty much just brushed it off. And he was like, man, I ain't scared of nothing, man. I just got to switch up the way I move and all that. Well, that didn't work out so well, man, because he's gone now. He's dead. Somebody finally got him because they had been trying to get FBG Duck for a minute, bro, and they finally got him in his hometown of Chicago, in a prestigious part of Chicago. But I don't know, man. I just find it alarming that we've lost so many rappers this year. You know, it's just ridiculous, man. You know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of these rappers I'm not that familiar with. Some of them I've heard songs here and there. Some of them I really did enjoy their music, but it's just alarming, man, because like I said, growing up, man, I just don't remember hearing about rappers getting murdered like this. And it's almost becoming the norm now because you're like, okay, well, this rapper's gone now. Who's going to be the next one? And then you start paying attention, at least I do, to what some of these other younger up-and-coming rappers are doing. And you're like, well, shoot, man, this dude keep going the direction he's going. He's about to be the next one gone. That's kind of how it is now. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way, man. Like, I don't know, man. These rappers, man, they need to get the right people in their corner. They need to get like an OG or somebody in their corner that's gonna like kind of coax them and try to help them make the right moves to where they're not gonna end up dead like so many of them have been here recently, man. But yeah, man, that's pretty much all I wanted to say, man. You know, this was just a little quick little episode that I wanted to get out there. I guess you could say this is me venting about this. It's something that's been on my mind, man, because, you know, after that week where you had King Von and Mo 3 both get killed within a couple of days of each other, and then Boosie and Benny the Butcher both got shot within a couple of days of each other, that week was just crazy, man. I was like, man, this is crazy, man. Why are we losing so many rappers at such a rapid speed these days, man? Like, this is crazy. I just wanted to touch on it, man. And maybe somebody who's listening to this podcast, this episode, who might be an up-and-coming rapper who falls into that category as them, maybe they'll hear this and maybe they'll take heed to what I'm saying. But, you know, just be smart about how you move, man. You know, just make a decision of whether, hey, are you going to go in this rap game full throttle, or are you going to keep going back to the hood, man? And if you go back to the hood, do it right, man. Don't be flossing on people in the hood that's broke. You know, like I said, man, I ain't saying you shouldn't enjoy the luxuries out there, but you got to understand that there's people out there just seeing what you're doing and they don't like it. You know, make better choices. Make better choices, man. Don't be a successful rapper or be on your way to being successful and still out here doing hood stuff, man. It's going to get you locked up or dead. You know what I'm saying? Just in all instances, man, just move accordingly, man. That's all I want to say, man. So, just like I said, man, this is a little quick episode. I just want to touch on something that's been on my mind. appreciate all you out there that has been listening to the podcast and that's been supporting me, man. I really do appreciate it, man. But yeah, that's all I want to talk about. So hope everybody has a blessed day. And this is LB and the Boombox Guru. Peace out. I just want to take the time to say thanks to everybody for tuning in to this week's episode. Hope you really enjoyed the content. If you did, please be sure to follow me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Anchor, all at The Boombox Guru. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Boombox Guru. You can like my Facebook page, The Boombox Guru. Be sure to tell your friends, your family, anybody that you know that may be interested in music commentary, music discussion. Be sure to tell them, like the page, follow the pages, share it. Just really help to promote and get me out there, everybody. And as always, I hope you all have a good day and you be blessed. Peace out.